Okay, our next topic is Agenda Paper 3 on share-based payment. Denise?
Thank you. This paper includes the draft proposal for an annual improvement to IFRS 2 to clarify the measurement of cash-settled share-based payment transactions that included performance conditions. This amendment reflects the conclusions that you reached at the last September meeting, at which you concluded that the measurement of cash awards that included performance conditions should be consistent with the measurement of equity settled awards in IFRS 2. The proposed wording is shown in Appendix B of this paper. Our analysis in Appendix A also shows that the proposed amendment meets the annual improvements criteria. We propose to expose this improvement along with other narrow scope amendments that have been discussed by you at previous meetings to IFRS 2. And, to note that this proposed amendment goes a little bit beyond of just clarifying the impact of a performance condition on cash awards. We're trying to provide a more comprehensive amendment to say, to provide guidance on the impact of vesting and non-vesting conditions on cash awards. That was the purpose of this thing. So if you have any questions or comments on the proposed amendment.
Martin?
Yes, as said last time, I believe it's challenging because, I mean, the measurement principle for equity settled awards is the value at grant date, but subsequent measurement is different for share-based payment programs. And also following this paper, we are arriving at a value for the liability which is somewhere in between. It's not fair value, it's some parts are related to IAS 37, so probability weighted something, and where we met the probability threshold. Only these scenarios we have to consider. The other ones are out of scope for the subsequent measurement if you have no market conditions. On the other hand, we see that at least some companies have kind of, say, reimbursement schemes or insurance schemes which, in a way, give rights that the company is reimbursed for cash settled grants. And for me, also in practical terms, the question is, increase transparency and decrease diversity in practice, or what other probably unintended consequences we might have? And specific with regard to the matching, when I see that there is a kind of reimbursement, what is the measurement for this kind of reimbursement? Would it be probability weighted or what? And what is the measurement for the obligation? And if I would sell the obligation at a specific point in time, for sure I would fair value it in a way. So for me, the point really is it necessary to come up with this amendment? Or should we probably say, okay, there might be diversity in practice, we might have good reasons for it. It is a kind of accounting policy, and if this accounting policy is disclosed, it's fine, because over the total period, we end up with the same expense in the P&L. The only question is the measurement of the obligation, in the time between. So that was one point, and the other point is, we currently have many open issues with regard to share-based payments. For example, modification of share-based payment from cash settlement to equity settlement contingent on a future event outside the control of entity and counterparty, and so on, where we intend to have narrow scope amendments. So my idea was to include all these issues of IFRS 2 in one narrow scope amendment. And I'm not sure whether that would be the appropriate way.
Okay, so you have 2 points then. One is you're not convinced it's the right answer. The other is rather than putting this through annual improvements, wouldn't it be superior to take all of the stuff that we're doing with IFRS 2 and package it together?
And that is our plan to do that.
And that is our plan to do that anyway, but not this one.
Yes, including this one.
Including this. I thought this was annual improvement.
We assessed against annual improvements, but given that we know that there are narrow scope amendments,
Okay. Chung Wu, board member privilege.
Me?
Oh, I thought you were...
No,
that's Andrew.
Andrew's had a lot of people.
We'll go with Andrew anyway.
I think Laurence was first in line,
no,
but I'm happy.
Go ahead. I'm happy for you to bring
I'll pass Steve a finish that question. Thank you. I think this draft amendment is in substance basically trying to implement what we agreed at the September meeting, so in substance I agree with it. I also agree that we can't simply cross-refer to the relevant guidance on equity settled transactions, in particular because of the remeasurement requirement for marking conditions, non-vesting conditions for cash settled plans. In that sense, I was just struck by the differences in the way this is expressed compared to paragraphs 19 to 21 of IFRS 2 that deal with similar concepts for equity settled schemes, in particular the reference to at the end of 33A, no expense shall be recognised at each reporting date if vesting is not probable. I think that is the same wording doesn't appear in the guidance on equity settled schemes, I don't think. I think that wording does probably reflect accepted practice, but that practice is interpretive. It's interpreting that probability is basically a recognition threshold or a way of implementing the best estimate of options expected to vest, rather than being a fractional or probability-weighted measurement issue. So I don't disagree with the wording per se, but I think we should be consistent between the equity settled guidance and the cash settled guidance if this wording is going to go through.
Okay, drafting suggestions, if you could get them to Denise.
Okay.
Coran?
Similar types of comments. That we should try to tie as much as we can with the accounting for equity settled share based payments, and in particular the changes made to paragraph 33. I was trying to look at the references, but I think you got the paragraph right, Andrew, where equity settled refers to an entity shall take into account all non-vesting conditions when estimating the fair value, rather than saying shall reflect the possibility of not meeting any market and non-vesting conditions. That type of drafting very differently. And also in that sentence in paragraph 33A, which may create confusion about how a change in the service or performance condition, that a change in the service or performance condition can only be affected by the number of awards that will vest. It is the number of awards that will vest, or the change in that number that will affect the change in the service or performance condition. So in that wording, that sentence, I have some suggestions about drafting for the first sentence.
Okay.
Tony, your light was on. Do you still want to come in?
Yeah. I think the proposed amendments are consistent with the conclusion the committee reached at the last meeting. I think I agree with the comments that if the accounting is going to be the same as accounting for equity settled awards, it would be helpful if the words were the same. I also wondered if in paragraph 30, where there's a reference to accounting for the liability at fair value, there should be some cross-reference back to the specific guidance. My only comment of substance was that I wasn't quite sure why it was made prospective. My thinking is if companies have been applying a different model and recording the fair value of the awards and taking the probability of vesting into account in the measurement of fair value, they'll already have whatever information they need to do the accounting. So I couldn't actually see why this wouldn't be retrospective it seems like it's a fairly easy adjustment to make it retrospectively, because you don't have to do any calculations for information you wouldn't already have. So I guess I feel it ought to be a retrospective amendment.
Okay. Reinhardt?
And Scott? My comments are very similar to those made by Tony and others. Coming and likewise, my comment, more substantive comment, was on the transition, because right now, reading the wording in, for the transition guidance, I wasn't sure whether it's applicable prospectively to all awards outstanding on that date or to new awards granted after that date. But like Tony, I don't object to retrospective applications to have some consistency in presentation.
I will modify that. Yes.
Scott and then Philippe.
I thought the draft amendment was very well written and does what it needs to do. I actually also was going to comment on the transition, although I wasn't going to go as far as retrospective, but listening to Tony, I think we probably could do it retrospective. I was just going to suggest that it ought to apply prospectively to existing awards as well. It's a liability award. You're updating the measurement every period anyway. So just next time you update it, use the new rules rather than the ones you work with.
Please.
Thanks.
I'm struggling a little bit with reading the amendment with regard to the status of market conditions. Maybe it will reflect my lack of understanding of IFRS 2, but is a market condition a vesting or non-vesting condition, or a third class of conditions?
Well, before we made the amendment to IFRS 2, the other annual improvement, we didn't specify. It's a condition. But after our amendment, it's going to be a performance condition. As long as the market condition has got also, or is linked to a service period to the...
The problem I have is the first, the second sentence in 33 says not meeting any market and non-listing condition. Okay, so I have two kinds of conditions here, market and non-vesting, or is it a cumulative, is the market and non-vesting?
And then
the last sentence in 33 says not meeting any vesting conditions other than market conditions, which in my logic says market conditions are vesting conditions.
Yeah. Market conditions are vesting conditions, but they're accounted for in the same way as non-vesting conditions insofar as the grant date pay value reflects them.
Yeah. Honestly, it's quite hard to read.
I'm just following.
If you know the answer, that's fine, but if you don't know the answer, try to get to a conclusion from reading the text.
It does reflect the definition of vesting conditions in IFRS
2. Is a type of performance condition, which is a type of vesting condition. So it does follow from the definition.
General view is that with some drafting changes, it's a faithful depiction of what we did decide it. So,
the change to retrospective. Well, on that point, wouldn't it make sense, he said, or would it make sense
to look at the group of them? I'd hate to have the transition guidance be longer than the amendment. So, you know, if we have some of them that are prospective and some of them that are retrospective and some of them that are half, let's think about getting them all the same. Okay.